Morning. Today's daf is daf Chav Zayin in Zvachim. We're on Chavav Amid Aleph, and we're starting on the bottom Mishnah. Nelson Agabe, Kefer Shalok Keneged Hayisod. Nelson is in Itan Lamata Lamala, Vesin Itan Lamala Lamata, Vesin Itan Bifnim Bechutz, Vesin Itan Bechutz Bifnim, Pasol Vein Bokaris. So the Mishnah gives us a series of three different types of Zrikas that were no good. So let's go over all three. Let's just detail what's no good about the Zrikas that were done. And the Mishnah's conclusion on all of them is that it's possible, it's disqualified, but there's no karis. Okay. So what Zrikas did you do that were no good? Number one, says the Mishnah, Nasno Agabe, Kevishlo Keneged Yisod. So you threw it on the ramp. Right? So you took the blood and you threw it on the ramp. Again, let's go back to our diagram up on the board. So running up to the Mizbech is a square. It's a block. It's actually block upon block. It's at the bottom is the yesod, it's the widest base. Then on top of that, there's another block, and on top of that, another block as well. So it's a series of blocks, one on top of another. It's a very simple construction of the Mizbeach. Leading up to the Mizbeach is nine amas high in the air. That's about 18 feet in the air, approximately. Right? So when you're on the top of the Mizbeach, you're pretty high off the ground. How do you get up to the Mizbeach? You can't just simply climb up to the Mizbeach. So there's a ramp leading up to the Mizbeach. It's a long ramp. Memory serves correctly, it's 32 amas in length. Right, to go from the bottom to the top of the ramp. Is that right, Stuart? Yeah.
31?
Yeah. Why don't... Okay. So it's... Fine. So, hypotenuse, the length. Anyway, so the ramp leads up to the Mizbeach, so you have a nice long ramp that goes up on an angle up to the Mizbeach, and that goes up to the Mizbeach. Now, the ramp that goes up to the Mizbeach, that's obviously not part of the Mizbeach, meaning that just facilitates you being able to go up to the Mizbeach. So the first thing that our Mishnah tells us is that if you take the blood and you put it on the ramp, that's no good, right? And for obvious reasons, because you didn't put it on the Mizbeach. The whole purpose of Zrika is to send the blood up onto the Mizbeach, not on the Mizbeach, but right on the side of the Mizbeach, and you didn't. You failed to do that. You put it on the ramp. So that's case number one in the Mishnah. Case number two in the Mishnah is Shelo Keneged HaYisod. Shelo Keneged HaYisod, not against the foundation. Once again, you run your way around the Mizbeach. Here. You run your way around the Mizbeach, so you have a foundation that goes around the Mizbeach. However, the foundation goes on the west side. I know it's confusing. On the west side, on the north side, and that's it. Small protrusion all the way here, in the bottom, the southwest bottom. Small protrusion here in the northeast. No yesod running down the eastern wall. No yesod running along the southern wall. And so here in the southeast corner, right, Florida, if you will. Sorry. Here in the southeast corner, so there's no yesod, there's no foundation over there. There's no protrusion of the foundation. Okay? So that is what the Mishnah describes as the area, right, Shelo Keneged HaYisod. And, as Rashi points out, over here, that's where blood needs to go. I mean, that's the part that blood does not go. Right? She'eno... Right, Om Mizbeach Shelo Keneged HaYisod. Rashi, three lines from the bottom. The page V'Alfin L'Kaman. The Ola Teuna Ma'andamin Keneged HaYisod. We're going to learn later on. One of our basic rules of Zrikas Adam is that it has to go Keneged HaYisod. It has to go opposite where the foundation is. She Yisod Mizbeach L'Mata Mi'Ma'andama L'Mu'ute Keren Mizrachi Dromis. That excludes the southeast corner. The Lo Hava LaYisod, because there's no Yisod over here. Kedamrin L'Be'ezu M'Kaman. Once again, we get to the famous parak of Ezu M'Kaman. Famous because we say it every day. Okay, so we will talk about where is the right place to sprinkle the blood. In the meantime, however, our Mishnah is just focusing on where you took the blood and you sprinkled it in the wrong place of the Mizbeach. So case number two in the Mishnah is where you sprinkled it, Shelo Keneged HaYisod. And then case number three in the Mishnah is Ve'es HaNitan L'Mala L'Mata Ve'es HaNitan Bifnim B'Chutz. Wrong location. Right, Lamata Lamala, as we discussed already a number of times, around the midpoint of the Mizbeach, going upwards, vertical, there's a midpoint. So there was a line, a Chutz HaSikra, it was a red line. and most karbanos blood were sprinkled below the red line. The chatas, the behema chatas, the animal chatas is sprinkled above the red line. So if you took blood and you sprinkled it in the wrong location, right? In other words, you took the animal of an ola and you sprinkled it above the red line, or you took the blood of a chatas and you sprinkled it below the red line. I guess we can call this a fourth case in the Mishnah. Or if I sprinkle the blood that was supposed to go bechutz on the outer mizbeach on the inner one, or on the inner one on the outer one, in all these cases, pasulvein bokari. So the Mishnah says in all these cases, it was a bad zrika, you've disqualified the animal, but ein bokaris, but there is no kares. Okay? Because there's no kares prohibition that was violated. Good. That is our Mishnah. Three ways to understand the Mishnah. Shmuel, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel will be all of Amud Beis, Chavav Amud Beis, to the midpoint of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Reish Lakish is a couple of lines on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. And then Rabbi Yochanan is the remaining part of today's daf. Okay? Pretty straightforward, pretty organized. Let's go through each one inside. Shmuel has an amazing chiddush. Amr Shmuel, we're on the top of Chavav Amud Beis. Chosel Basar, Avabal Nizkapu. Okay, so Shmuel says, you know, our Mishnah sounds like you really ruined it. No, you didn't. You didn't really ruin it. It's okay. So it's not that bad. Really, it's better than a consolation prize. Right? It's fine. The only thing is that you can't eat the meat. That's all. But as far as the owner, I've a bal in this kapur, but the owner got a kapara. Why? So my time, Adam Kravanina Satilachem al Mizbech Chaper, Kevishigi Adam Mizbech Niskapu Balim. Because the Mizbech is where the destination for the blood's got to be, and the blood got there. As long as the blood got to the Mizbech, so you have received a kapara. Ihachi Basunami. So the Gemara says, well, if you got a kapara, so that means that the carbon worked. So that means that you should be able to eat the basar. I'm a krol lechaper lekapar nasati v'lo davar acher. Well, now, when I say that the mizbeach is acceptable, and the mizbeach basically, as long as the blood gets there, that's good under any circumstance. Even though the Torah says I have rules and regulations in terms of where exactly it needs to go, but as long as it gets there, it's good. That's true vis-a-vis kapara. So in other words, the owner can go home now. The carbon has been brought. We're all good. However, in terms of the meat, you can't eat the meat because you didn't do it kim mitzvah, you didn't do it properly.
It means the kohanim and the baal can't.
Right, I assume so.
Burn it inside or outside because there was kapara.
I assume burning takes place inside. I assume. Alma kasavar, and here's the punchline, shalom bim kama kim kama dami. And so therefore, and Shmuel says what? That shalokim bim kama kim kama dami. Even though you put the blood in the wrong place, but nevertheless, shalobim komo is kim komo. Putting in the wrong place is like putting in the right place. Meaning there is no such thing as a wrong place on the mizbeach. All places on the mizbeach is good. There is no specific place in the mizbeach where it has to go. Okay, now, there is a very, very sizable Tosos on the right-hand side of the page. You see it? Tosos is basically bothered by every case in the Mishnah. Look back at the Mishnah. Because now that we understand conceptually what Shmuel is saying, Mizbeach is non-specific. Any part of the Mizbeach works. Put the blood in any part of the Mizbeach and works. So I understand the Mishnah that says Shalom Keneged HaYesod. Right? That's good. And I understand Lamata, Lamala, Lamala, Lamata. That's also good. And Bifnim Bechutz, that's okay. That's a little tricky. Because you didn't put it on the outer Mizbeach. You put it on the inner Mizbeach. But I guess they both work. I guess that's the point over there. But the first case in the Mishnah, that's going to be a problem. First case in the Mishnah is Nasnu Agabe Akeves Shalom Keneged HaYesod. Right, you put it on the ramp. The ramp is not the Mizbeach. The ramp is just a way to get to the Mizbeach. It's a ramp. That's all it is. It's not the Mizbeach. So what Tosus is bothered by is that this rule of Shmuel, now that we understand it, and this concept of Shmuel, Shalom Bim Kamos Kam Kamo Dami, so I understand how it works on the Mizbeach. So I got the wrong place on the Mizbeach, but how does that work with the ramp? And so Tosus says very simply, Shmuel's not talking about every case in the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. Meaning, although when you read the Gemara and you read the Mishnah, it sounds like Shmuel's talking about everything in the Mishnah, and the Gemara will never qualify which part of the Mishnah Shmuel's talking about, but Tosfos says you're going to have to say it's just not talking about the first case of the Mishnah. It can't be. Just highlights of Tosfos. Third fourth skinny line down. Mikol makom leinyan damim lo matzina b'shum makom keves kimizbeach. We do not find anywhere that the ramp has the status of mizbeach. It's not. It's not the mizbeach. Dilakama beperakach kashim gabe all the gabe chatas mematina mitechsi kiyam mizbeach v'lo kira keves. The al karchin shmu alav akule milsakai. Okay, and you're gonna. There's just no choice. You have to say that the Mishnah is not. Shmuel is not talking about our entire Mishnah. Okay, fine. It's a problem. The Gemara doesn't bring it up, obviously, because that's where we're talking about this in Tosfos. But still, it makes sense. In other words, Tosfos' point certainly makes sense. Okay, good. So now we have a basic understanding of our Mishnah, Shmuel's understanding of the Mishnah. It's not Shuto Shel Mishnah, it's not the simple Pshat in the Mishnah, but certainly though, it's founded on a very big Kiddush and a very big concept of Shalom Bim Kamas Kam Kamadami. Good. Gemara now is going to challenge Shmuel from a number of different places. Number one, Tanan B'idach Perikin. Okay, we're going to learn in the next parak. Okay, very next parak. Nasu akevish lo kenegedi yisod. Nasu nisnitan lamata lamala vesnitan lamala lamata vesnitan bifnim bechutz vesnitan bechutz bifnim. Okay, the Mishnah in Daf Lamed Beis is going to talk about what if you put right the first Mishnah in the third parak. What if you put the blood in the wrong place on the ramp against an area that there's no yisod? Same exact cases of our Mishnah. The bloods that go above that go, should go below. The bloods you put below that should have gone above. Outer mizbech, inner mizbech, all that. An important word. Im yesh dam hanefesh yachzer hakasher the kabel. So the Mishnah says, okay, so go back to the animal. Okay, good. Meaning it's not a lost cause. Go back to the animal. And squeeze. I'm sorry, it's a little graphic, but squeeze the animal and get a little more blood out of the animal. Now, but that's of course assuming there's still dam hanefesh left in the animal. Okay, which again, if I saw a shechita in the Beis Hamikdash, I'd understand a lot better. Meaning that I assume that after you shech the animal, the dam hanefesh pretty much goes in one swoop and in one gush. And meanwhile, the Mishnah here is describing. Yeah, okay, so go back to the animal and see if you can get a little more dam and nefesh out of the animal.
What does that say? Yasa
kosher. Oh, good, oh. Good. That's an excellent diuk. Hold on that diuk. So the ikaba. The isakadacha shalobim kama kim kamo. So the Gemara now is going to ask a fantastic question. Shmuel, aren't you the one who says shalobim kama kim kamo?
Yeah.
Right? Which means, okay, so I'm supposed to put it in the top part of the mizbech and I put it in the bottom part. Okay, but all points on the Mizbeach are good. There's a mitzvah. The Torah gives us a regulations in terms of where to put it. But once it gets on the Mizbeach, it's good. So, lama liyachzer hakash v'yikabel. Now, v'chi tema, now the Gemara says, now don't say this. which means we could suggest it, but don't say it. V'chi tema lahatir basar ba'achila. Oh, okay, so fine. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because remember, Shmuel says that the carbon work, you just can't eat it. And we'd love to eat the carbon, meaning it's a mitzvah to eat the carbon, right? The chatas and asham kohanim have a mitzvah to eat it. Shlomim, the owners have a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to eat it. So maybe the reason why we're going back is that the kapara was achieved. We just want to go back to the animal and do the blood again so that we can eat the carbon. Mika zrika delo mechaperes v'sharya basa ba'achila. So the Gemara says, well, that's going to be strange. That they so now you're going to have a zrika, which is going to have no kapara element to it, and it's going to allow the achila. So the Gemara says, there's no such thing. Meaning, zrika has a primary purpose. When you sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, the primary purpose is kapara, is to achieve atonement. There's no such thing as a zrika where its only function is to allow the eating of the meat. That's not zrika. That doesn't... Zrika doesn't work that way. The allowance of the eating of the meat is only a byproduct. The main purpose is to get kapara. So the Gemara says, so it can be. It can be that we're going to go back to the animal, squeeze the animal, get more blood of the animal, sprinkle on the mizbech just so that I can eat the carbon. It doesn't work that way. So the Gemara says, fine. Ediyavi kasher hachanami. So the Gemara says, okay, according to Shmuel, here's what we're going to have to say. We're going to say that Mishnah is not describing where a kosher kohen, a qualified kohen, did the zrika. Because if that were to happen, according to Shmuel, you're fine. You're fine. The carbon was brought, the kapara was achieved, and the fact that you can't eat the animal, okay, you can't eat the animal. Okay, but that would be fine. Hachanami. Hacha b'mayiskinan, diyave pasol. We are describing the scenario in that Mishnah on Lamed Beis, the first Mishnah, the third Perek. We're describing a scenario where a pasul kohen was the one who brought it to the Mizbeach, which is why, Phil, the Mishnah says, Yachzer Kasher. Right? Let a qualified kohen go back and do it. Because the first one who did it was an unqualified kohen. V'lehave dichui. So the Gemara says, okay, so what just happened? A disqualified kohen, a kohen bal mum, went ahead, or a kohen tameh, went ahead and took, no, let's go to bal mum. Bal mum is a better example. So a kohen bal mum, a blemished kohen, took the blood and sprinkled on the mizbeach. So we have just experienced dichui, meaning it's now been pushed. And we know, when it comes to karbanos, once you have a push, so you can't use it again. We know that once a bad zrika is done, that's it. You get one opportunity, you get one crack at doing a zrika. Once you've done a zrika, and it was a bad zrika, so you don't get a second chance. So my time allowed me to have a dichui. So the Gemara is assuming, right? Isn't there a thing called dichui? The Gemara says not necessary. Lo, mishum de paso b'machshava. The Gemara says no. That case that we just described, the Mishnah that we just described, is not talking about whether it was dichui, but rather it was a real disqualification b'machshava. Yachi kabala nami. The Gemara says that's what's going on over there. It's talking about a psul machshava, a disqualification because the person had a bad intent, a bad thought. The Gemara says, so why are we talking about Zrika? We could be talking about Kabbalah as well. And remember, that Mishnah that we're talking about is talking about where a non-qualified Kohen is doing the Avodah. Whatever Machshava he has, it doesn't matter. A bad Machshava can only come from a good person. I know that sounded funny. I know that sentence sounded funny. But a bad Machshava works, is only effective, only affects the animal if the bad machshava comes from someone who's a bar hachi, who's able to bring the karban. If the kohen is unable to bring the karban, so machshavas don't count. He's not a bar hachi. He's not someone who could do it. In order for a bad machshava to work, you need everything to be qualified. So the Gemara says, fine. Lo tema zarku lo, ela ema shachdu lo. So the Gemara says, okay, you're going the wrong direction. Meaning that Mishnah that says that Kabbalah that's done, it's no good. That's not precluding a Zrika. I'm sorry. And the Mishnah says, and go back and do it. That's not precluding Zrika. That's going the other direction. That's precluding Shechita. My kamash one de pasa machshava. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Let me just. Right, if a non-qualified kohen did the shechita with a bad machshava, that's no good. So my kamashma and the pasul machshava, the Gemara says, now, what are you telling me? That a machshava by shechita is no good, even if the person is doing it is not qualified? Because as we've said it time and again, when it comes to shechita, that can be done by anybody, right? By a non-kohen, certainly by a kohen bal mum. So tanin laficha chen posim b'machshava hakamash malan de mikabala ve'elech lo pasal machshava my time akidarava. So the Gemara says, fine. So what the Mishnah is telling us is, yeah, exactly. When it comes to shechita, so if you have a non-kohen doing the shechita, so for him, a machshava is effective because anyone could do the shechita. From kabbalah ve'elech, from the point of kabbalah and onward, only a qualified kohen can have a bad machshava on the animal. Okay. Again, let's regroup over here because we got a little lost in all the give and take of the Gemara. We have our Mishnah. Mishnah talks about sprinkling the blood in the wrong location of the Mizbeach. And the Mishnah says pasul. Shmuel says pasul only means the meat. The animal, the carbon is a good carbon. You can check off your carbon on your to-do list. Did I bring my carbon today? Yes, I did. I can go home now. I've achieved atonement. The kohen didn't sprinkle the blood in the right place. Not a big deal. Shmuel says, Shalobim Kamos Kim Kamo. Not the right place is the right place. There's no such thing as a wrong place on the Mizbeach. Yes, you didn't do a Kimitzvaso. Yes, you will not be able to eat the meat, but still, according to Shmuel, you've achieved Kapara. That is what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says Pasal. Good. That is Shmuel's Pshat in the Mishnah. We challenge Shmuel based on the Mishnah coming up on Lamed Beis. And the Gemara says, because the Mishnah on Lamed Beis describes going back to the animal and getting trying to get more blood of the animal and redoing, right? The Mishnah is talking about a redo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that Mishnah is talking about where a disqualified Kohen was doing the Avodah. That's why over there we're talking about a redo. But had you had a qualifying a Kohen sprinkling the blood, even though it hits the wrong location, it's fine. Okay. That is Shmuel. A little bit more a give and take on Shmuel. Mesfe. Three lines from the bottom. Chishav litenes initan lamala lamata. Lamata lamala. La'alter kosher. Okay, now, this is a Mishnah coming up also in the third parak, and this Mishnah is going to be describing pigel. Okay? Let's review. We know this, we've seen this already, but let's review. Pigel is having a machshava of chutz lizmano. Now remember, pigel, the thought, and every time I say thought, I really mean articulation, speech, right? We're going to assume throughout the Masechta that a machshava here means that the Kohen articulates it. It's difficult to read minds. Very difficult. So the Kohen is articulating, and the Kohen says, when he shechs the animal, or does any one of the avodas, that when we're going to have a consumption of the animal, we're going to do it outside of the prescribed time. Everything has a prescribed time. For example, the Kohen shechs the animal and says, I'm shechting the animal so that I'm going to sprinkle the blood tomorrow. Sprinkling of the blood is the Mizbeach's form of consumption. That's a Mizbeach, quote unquote, eating the blood, right, so to say. So I'm shechting it today so that I can sprinkle the blood tomorrow. That's no good. When you shech today, the zrika has to be done today. Okay, that's a machshava chutz lizmano. Creates pigel. Okay, another example. I sprinkle the blood, and I say that I'm going to eat the karbon, let's say it's a shlamim, the third day from today, which is actually the example the Torah gives. Right? That's no good. That's a machshava of pigel. So I did one of the matir avodas, and I said I'm going to eat it chutz lizmano after I prescribed time. Okay? All that now creates pigel. One of the most basic rules by pigel is that it's only pigel. And by the way, if it's pigel, that means that if somebody now goes ahead and eats the meat of an animal that was subject to pigel, that had a pigel machshava, the consumer of the karbon is chayiv kares. Okay, it's a serious offense. Right, one of the Cohen? Huh? The Cohen who creates pigel. So I don't think so. I don't think he gets karis. Right? We always talk about karis in terms of kezias and eating it. It is interesting, by the way. The Kohen creates pigel is not as punishable as the one who eats.
Of course, the guy has to know that it's
right? The Kohen says that I'm gonna tomorrow. That's a create pigel, right? So why is
well, if he says what if he says
so I'm going to do zerika tomorrow,
right?
So he produces pigle, not the owner.
Okay.
So why the owner would be karis?
No, the consumer. No, the owner doesn't get karis. The consumer of the meat. Anybody who walks over to that meat and eats that meat is going to be chayv karis, right? I mean, similar. That's not similar, but anyone who goes over to blood and eats blood, you're chayv karis. So this meat has been created into a chefza shel ister, an object of ister, and so therefore you're going to be chayv karis. Just a lot of fundamental assumptions. We're assuming we know. Okay? Good. Okay, nice.
It's true with halacha
and it's true
kabbalah,
with
shechita, kabbalah,
it has to be, the machshava has to be during a matir, during one of the four avodas, any of the four avodas, and it has to be, the thought, it has to be about a consumption. Consumption could be either a consumption of the mizbeach, or you, the one who was going to eat the karbon.
What is it called outside of its place?
That's chutz lim kamo. And that's not pigel, the meat is rendered disqualified, but it's not chayv karis. Okay. This Mishnah over here is describing it. Now, a basic rule when it comes to pigol is that in order for the meat, for the carbon to actually be mefagel, in order for it to become pigol, all the other avodas have to be done correctly. Okay? This is just a basic rule when it comes to pigol. It's rule number one, or rule number two. But it's one of the most basic rules when it comes to pigol, and that the meat, the rest of the avoda has to be done correctly. If the rest of the avoda is not done correctly, so then it's no longer eligible for pigol. So pigol's a funny, it's just its own world. Pigol's its own world. So you have to have a machshav of chutzes mano during one of the four avodas, and the other avodas have to be done correctly. Okay? Now that you know all that, so let's see. Chishev litein, I'll start again, meisvei. And this, we're bringing in this Mishnah as a challenge against Shmuel, and you'll see how it's going to challenge Shmuel. Chishev litein es anitan lamala, lamata, lamata, lamala, le'alter kosher. So, you say like this. This is, I just shechted a carbon chatas. I know the blood has to go on the upper portion of the mizbeach. But I declare that I'm going to sprinkle on the lower portion of the mizbeach. Right? Is this Cohen going to get, you know, some sort of censorship? Is he going to get some, is he going to, right? Is he going to get deposed? Maybe. Okay, whatever. Just, again, we're just dealing with the abstract scenarios. Okay? And so I'm sprinkling in the wrong place of the mizbeach. But I'm going to do it today. Okay? Kosher. We're still good.
And he did it in the right place. He only had the intent. But he did it in the right place.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Fine.
Yeah, otherwise that would be like Shmuel. Otherwise
that's the whole Shmuel. Okay, wait. Chazer v'chishev chutz limkomo pasol v'ein bo kares. Now, during the subsequent avoda, he says, I'm going to eat it in the wrong location. This is what's called chutz limkomo. Okay? Pasol v'ein bo kares. Chutz lizmano pigol v'chayavin alav kares. If during a subsequent avoda, he says, I'm going to eat it outside of its prescribed time, good. Good. Meaning you've affected pigol, and now chayav and alav kares, and anyone who's going to eat it is going to be subject to kares. Lamachar pasul. If when he does it, in other words, in that machshava, in that first machshava, let's go back to where he says, the blood I'm going to sprinkle in the wrong location. And in that very same avoda, he also says, and I'm going to eat it tomorrow. Okay, so he's got two things that he's thinking about concurrently. Okay, is it possible to hold two thoughts in your mind at the same time? With me, it's improbable. But he says, I'm going to sprinkle in the wrong location, and I'm going to eat it tomorrow. Pasul. So the Mishnah says that's pasul. Chazer v'chishev bein chutz lezmano bein chutz mekomo pasul v'ein bo kares. If in a subsequent avoda he says I'm going to eat it chutz lezmano, either chutz lezmano or chutz mekomo pasul v'ein bo kares, it's going to be no good. But there's no kares because you didn't do the rest of it ketikuno. You didn't do the rest of the avodas properly. Okay, now the Gemara addresses Shmuel. The ishalobim kamun kim kamodami. High puzzle, pigelhu. I don't understand. Right, you go to that case in the Mishnah where the Kohen had the two thoughts in his mind at the same time. What are the two thoughts in his mind? And he articulates, I'm going to sprinkle the blood in the wrong place on the Mizbeach. Plus, I'm going to eat the carbon in the wrong prescribed time. Okay. Now, let's take Shmuel's rule. Shmuel says, Shalobim komos kim komo. So, truth of the matter is now, is that even though he didn't do it totally appropriately, but still, Shalobim komo is kim komo, wrong place on the Mizbech is fine, it's acceptable. So all we're left with really, in other words, if you distill the whole case, all you're left with is really a machshava of Shalobim mano. And so the conclusion of the Braisa should be pigol. And meanwhile, the Braisa says, pasul. And what bothers the Gemara is, why is the Braisa using such light language? Why is the Braisa saying pasul? The Braisa should punctuate it with the word pigol, because truth be told, you've done nothing wrong other than chutzazmano, which means now you've, according to Shmuel, which now means that you've made it eligible for pigol. Okay, right? It's a lot. Okay, but if you right, if you follow step by step, the question right, the question really is a good question against Shmuel. Ama mazutra zrika de sharia basa ba'achila maisi le de pigol zrika de lo sharia basa ba'achila lo maisi le de pigol. So the Gemara says, look, I'm going to give you another rule when it comes to pigol, and this is going to help us over here understand this brace according to Shmuel. Okay, in order to create pigol, so I said rule number one is all the other avodas have to be done kitukuna, all the other avodas have to be done appropriately, correctly, I should say. Good. Plus, we're going to add one more to this. Another rule, another fundamental rule when it comes to pigol, is that you have to walk away being able to eat the karban. Except for the fact that you were mefago. Meaning, but other than that, all the other avodas have to lead us to the road where I could have eaten the karban. And the only thing stopping me from eating the karban is pigol. Right? This is the rule of Mar Zutra. Again, let's say this inside again. Zrika de sharia basa ba'achila, maisi le de pigol. Zrika de lo sharia basa ba'achila, lo maisi le de pigol. So Amalei Rav Ashi, la Mar Zutra, menalacha. And he bases it on the psukim regarding pigol, right? Where the Torah says essentially, and if you eat it, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it because of the pigol. Meaning, pigol was the only thing stopping you from eating it. If something else was stopping you from eating it, so then you have not arrived at the point of pigol. Good. The ihachi. So the Gemara says the if that's true, so then it shouldn't be possible as well. Good. So now we're providing a really a nice pshat in the Braisa according to Shmuel. The Braisa says there's no pigol. Why? So now we know why. Because in order for it to be pigol, the animal could have in theory been eaten other than the machshavas pigol. Good. So the Gemara says, so why is it possible? In other words, so at this point in time now, so what did you do wrong? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman, Mar Yitzchak mita d'havei amachshav hinuch v'alibah d'Rav Yehuda." So the Gemara says very simply, "Look, you didn't. Okay, fine, right? You didn't sprinkle the blood today, but you didn't, right? Because I'm sorry, it went in the wrong place. But according to Rav Yehuda." It's really no different than just simply depositing the blood and not sprinkling at all. Right? This is what's called maniach, leaving the blood there. Which according to Rav Yehuda, is also the apostle also disqualifies the animal. Okay, good. Good. So we have now opinion number one of our Mishnah, which is Shmuel. Shmuel says that when our Mishnah is talking about pasul, it means only that you can't eat the meat. But the rule, the fundamental rule of the day, according to Shmuel, Shelo b'mkamo k'mkamo. The entire mizbeach really is an item, an object of kapara, provides kapara, and if you sprinkle the blood, even though the Torah tells you where you need to sprinkle the blood, top half, bottom half, southeast versus northeast, the Torah is very clear about where the blood needs to be sprinkled. But when the day is over, when all said and done, shalom bimkamo is kimkamo. That any place of the Mizbeach really creates kapara. It just is what our Mishnah is teaching us, is that you just can't eat the meat. That's all. But the kapara has been achieved. The main part of the karban has worked, has been effective. Good. That's number one. Pshat number one in our Mishnah. Pshat number two is Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish ama le'olam pasal mamash. Ushelobim kamo kim kamo dami. Shreish Lakish says that when it says pasul, it means pasul mamish. Okay? Our Mishnah, Shreish Lakish says, I prefer to read the Mishnah kipshuta. The Mishnah says pasul, usually when the Mishnah says something that straightforward and that simple, it means it's disqualified. That's what the Mishnah means.
Disqualified, just like the other one.
Right? And Shreish Lakish says, and I'm also not going to challenge Shmuel. Meaning, I agree with Shmuel also. Shelo b'mkamos k'mkamo. That really, if you hit the mizbeach on the wrong spot, it's okay. Shelo b'mkamos k'mkamo. So, okay, now we're going to be in.
It's a psychological.
Now we're going to be a little bit stuck right now. Okay, we're in the middle of a really of a rock and a hard place. Meaning, I'd like to offer the simple pshat in the Mishnah that pasul means disqualified, fully disqualified. I also would like to agree with Shmuel that shelo bimkom was kamkomo. So now, according to Reish Lakish, how does all that work?
Right.
Yeah. So, right, the Gemara doesn't stop. Velo kasha, kansha nasan b'shtika, kansha nasan b'amira. Right, the difference is whether you do a b'shtika or whether you do a b'amira. And the difference, says Rashi, kansha nasan b'shtika, drasha dekram demashma balim niskapu kansha nasan b'shalobim koma b'shtika. We had a drasha, meaning Shmuel had a drasha, and the drasha go back to the top of the previous amud, and the drasha essentially said the second line on the top page from the previous amud, the mizbeach is a kapara, period. And the drasha was as long as the blood gets there, okay, not the best place. Okay, but as long as the blood gets there, it's a kapara. So what Reish Lakish says is good. I accept that. That's b'shtika. That's if you don't say anything. Umasnisin diktani pasul benasam b'machshava lechol baser chutz zmano ve'ashmiina de pasul ve'im bokaris de machshava zrika zu machshava hu lipsol dikim kamo dami ve'lo lefagel de zrika de lo sharya baser bechil lo ma'isle de pigol. And our Mishnah that says that's pasul is that you had a machshava to eat the meat chus lizmano. And good. And what's our Mishnah telling us? Well, there's no... Which is what?
That could be pickle.
Which is... Not could be pickle, should be pickle.
It's not.
How come it's not pickle? Because you can't eat it. And since you can't eat it, so therefore it's not subject to pickle. Okay. So it's a... How do I say this? It's a somewhat better pshat in the Mishnah because it allows you to leave the word pasul translated literally. It's disqualified.
I'm just still seeing the difference. What's the difference between Reish Lakish and Shmuel?
None. Meaning fundamentally, none.
So what is he trying to?
What he's trying to do is he's trying to give a simpler, cleaner pshat in the Mishnah. If the Mishnah bothers him, meaning when you read the Mishnah says if you do any of the above mentioned, which is basically put the blood in the wrong place. So, puzzle. I mean, what do you do with the word puzzle? So Shmuel says, well, puzzle just means you can't eat the meat. That's, you know, that's not a simple pshat in the Mishnah. That's a difficult, it's a challenging pshat in the Mishnah. But Shmuel maintains that's the pshat. Because of my rule, shalom bim kama kim kama. So what Reish Lakish is trying to do is, on one hand, not upset Shmuel. I agree with Shmuel. Shalom bim kama kim kama. But at the same time, I'm also trying to give a simpler pshat in the Mishnah. It's not that much simpler. Because then what you're going to have to say is that the Mishnah is talking about where, in addition to that, he also had a machshava pigle. We haven't been talking about pigle in the Mishnayos up until this point in time. And the Mishnah's point is, well, because you can't eat the meat, so therefore you're not. It's not pigle.
That's why we need to say
right, right. Right,
aimbok.
Correct, aimbok. I totally agree. Aimbok karis is like a red flag. We're talking about pickle, right? Because otherwise, why would the Mishnah have to say and there's no karis, right? Meaning that exactly. Once the Mishnah is using the words aimbok karis, meaning we're having a pickle discussion.
Pickle discussed that it had to be consumption, and there are three types of consumption: one is burning, one is splashing, one is eating, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now the thing is that we are doing one consumption. He's actually in the Zrika. The Zrika may not be a valid Zrika.
Zrika is a funny thing. Zrika is a consumption and it's a matir. It's both.
Okay. He's doing part of the consumption. Then. So why is that the pigle?
Why is it pigle?
Yeah, because even he's doing the consumption part. He's already done it. Granted, he's not going to be able to eat it or burn on the mizbeach, but he already did part of one of the three.
Correct, but remember, zrika is both. It's a consumption and it's a matir. Meaning, without zrika, I can't eat the animal. The mizbeach can't eat the animal, so it is a consumption. So therefore, if I during the zrika I say, and I'm eating this tomorrow, or 3 days from now, or the mizbeach is going to eat it tomorrow, that's also going to be pigle. Okay, let's do it. Rabbi Yochanan, a position number 3. Really, truth of the matter is, it is position number three because it's the third pshat in the Mishnah. But really, Reish Lakish and Shmuel, as already noted here in this room, correctly, are not really disagreeing. They are fundamentally agreeing to the rule Shelo b'mkamos k'mkamo. They are just disagreeing in terms of what the pshat is in the Mishnah when the Mishnah says pasul. Okay, but really, fundamentally, they agree. Rav Yochanan Amar Id v'Idi Shnasa Mishtika. Rav Yochanan says no, I disagree. I challenge everything. Even if you do a b'shtika, meaning you sprinkle the blood, which should have gone on the top part of the mizbeach, on the upper portion, you sprinkle on the lower portion. And you know what the Mishnah says when it says pasul means pasul. That's what it means. And even if you didn't say anything, it's pasul. Shalom b'mkam alav k'mkam adami. And the mizbeach is in fact to be segregated. We separate the parts of the mizbeach. When the Torah says I have to sprinkle the blood on the upper portion of the mizbeach, it means the upper portion of the mizbeach, and only the upper portion of the mizbeach. And when the Torah says I have to sprinkle the blood on the northeast corner, northwest corner, it means northeast and northwest, not the southeast.
So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Nachman is that there's no kapara for the owner.
Right, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, you start again. Good. Okay, you start again. Now, that perfect segue. Okay? And then the Gemara says, wait a second. Okay, and by the way, according to Rav Yochanan, now the Mishnah is going to be good. You don't have to. You learn the Mishnah Kipshuto. Not like Shmuel who says we're just talking about meat. Not like Reish Lakish who says the Mishnah is talking about a Machshavas Pigol included in this Avoda. But Kipshuto, the Mishnah just means that you did bad, you sprinkled the wrong place, that's not good, and Shalom B'mkamo, Shalom B'mkamo. Good. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, what about the Mishnah on the first in the first Mishnah in the third parak coming up, where the Mishnah over there describes doing a redo? So let's do it again. So how come? What, the question is very simple. How come our Mishnah doesn't talk about redo?
There is no redo.
That's exactly what the Gemara says. So
where's
the?
Why should the Mishnah?
Well, only because the next Mishnah does. Meaning, you're right. If it wasn't for the next Mishnah, I don't know if the Gemara would be asking this question. But the next Mishnah on the first Mishnah, the third parak, talks about a redo. So the Gemara answers very simply: "Bahadika dama nefesh, hadaleka dama nefesh." Good, simple, straightforward. Okay, the difference is that in our Mishnah, that's it. You ran out of blood, and you sprinkled in the wrong place. Impossible, and that's it, and you're done. And the next Mishnah, the third parak, is talking about where there's more dama nefesh, where there's a chance to go back to the animal and squeeze out more blood. Tanan.
Explain the
envelope. Right, that's going to be a little more challenging. Right, that's what Rabbi Tushwell says, and it's beautiful. According to Reish Lakish, envelope means, and it's not pigol. Right, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what's the havamina? Right, right. It's a good question. It's a good question. Why would the Mishnah then talk about pigol? Pigol's not even on the. It's not on the radar.
Why you specify that there's no cart?
Good. Good. I don't have an answer. Okay. Tanan. Pasul ve'ainbol karis. Bishlam ala reish lakish. Haine diktani pasul ve'ainbol karis. Ala la Rav Yochanan my ainbol karis. Kasha. Good. Good. Kasha. Gemara doesn't have an answer. Even better. Ulishmua my ainbol karis. Hachi kamar. And what about according to Shmuel? Im nasim b'machshav apostle ve'ein bo karis. And according to Shmuel, what does the word ve'ein bo karis mean? That if you do this b'machshav apostle, I'm sorry, with a machshav apostle ve'ein bo karis. Okay.
Because
it can't be eaten, and pigol is only when it could be eaten outside the pigol element. V'rav Yochanan.
Okay, according to the question we asked in the beginning of the
dam. Right. So the Gemara now takes us to a question within Rav Yochanan. Okay, so look. According to Rav Yochanan, you blew it. Right? What happened? Shalobim kamas lav kim kamo. Torah says it's got to go in the upper portion of the Mizbeach, and you sprinkle the lower part of the Mizbeach, and you're done. So the Gemara now addresses the following question. This question will take us to the remainder of today's daf. And it's a good question. So why not say the following? So you know what? We know, right? Let's say on the way from the Kohen having done the Kabbalah to the part where he's going to sprinkle on the Mizbeach, let's say he trips.
Right.
He falls. The blood spills. It happens. We're human. Right? So what's the halacha? You sit there, collect the blood, and then continue walking to the Mizbeach. Right? So the Gemara now wants to know, okay.
You can't necessarily do that if you have a million of them doing it at the same time.
Fine. Like but just you're right, but in principle though, in principle, Nishbach is not bad. Nishbach is fine. We learned earlier in the Masechta that if it went directly from the animal to the floor, that's no good. But once it's in the bowl, and then it spills on the floor, Torah says, go down, pick it up, and continue walking. Good. Now the Gemara says, according to Rav Yochanan, Shalobim Kamos Lavkim Kamo. I got that. Good, I understand. What I don't understand is, good. So then just go to where the blood is, scoop it up, and do it off the wall, and do it again, and do it again properly. And you could have just simply said, yeah, that's fine, but you have to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says puzzle. Puzzle means done, game over. So Rav Yochanan, so why not just simply collect it and try again? So the Gemara says, "Savala kamanda amar lo yasfenu." Damar Rav Yisrael by Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, hakol modim benisana lamala shenasan lamala. I'm sorry, benisana lamala shenasan lamala lamata shenasan lamata shelo kimitzvasan lo yasfenu lo nechluku ela benisana lamala shenitan lamata lamata shenitan lamala she Rav Yosef Omer lo yasfenu. Rav Shimon Amar yasfenu umishnasenu kedivra Omer. Lo yasfenu. Okay? And the Gemara's answer is very simply, our Mishnah is holding like the position that says Shelo yasfenu. Rashi, second to last line on the page, on Chav Zainam at Aleph. Shelo yasfenu lachzor velitno kimitzvaso. The kevan de nitan bimkomo az de le torah zrika mine. Okay? Once you tried zrika, that's it. Meaning, it's
similar to spilling it on
the ground. Right. Spilling it on the ground means that I'm still in the world of Avoda. Meaning, I'm somewhere still between Shechting and Zrika. So even though the blood has left the bowl, it's fine, right? I am, right, again, my bad baseball analogies, I'm still in the batter's box, right? I'm still there. I'm still, right, we're still here. However, once you did your Zrika, right? Once you did your Zrika, that's it. You're done.
What if he trips and spills on the ground and part of it splashes on the Mizbeach?
Fair. I don't know. But in other words, but once you've done Zrika, Rashi's wording is az de leitar Zrika mine. That's it. You're now out of the world of Zrika. That's it. You're out. You're done. You're finished. And that's why you can't go back, and you just can't collect the blood off the wall. Good. Okay, fine. Good. So let's go over. Okay. So again, the Mishnah started today in Chavav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says that if you sprinkle the wrong place on the Mizbeach, possible vein bo kares, it's possible and there's no kares. And so now what we're offering is two basic approaches in terms of place on the Mizbeach, and three possible pshatim in the Mishnah. Number one was Shmuel. Shmuel says that when the Mishnah says pasul, it's just talking about the meat. The carbon was an effective carbon. Shelo bimkomos kim komo. That's pshat number one, that's Shmuel. Pshat number two in the Mishnah is Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish fundamentally agrees with Shmuel. Shelo bimkomos is kim komo. The entire Mizbeach is mechapir, is an object of kapara. Sprinkling anywhere in the Mizbeach works, right? And remember, Shmuel and Reish Lakish are based on a drasha. To drush on the pasuk, why does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah says pasul vein bo karis? It means talking about pigol. It means that if you concurrently had a machshavas pigol, you are not going to get karis for eating the meat. Why? Because since you couldn't eat the meat because you sprinkled the wrong place, so therefore there's no pigol. And the third pshat in the Mishnah is the pshat of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, right. Mishnah says pasul, it means pasul. Why? Because Rav Yochanan fundamentally disagrees. Shelo bimkomos lavkim komo dami. That's Pshan Rav Yochanan. What is the Mishnah talking about when it says Nebo Karis? The Gemara says Kasha. Gemara says that's difficult. I don't know. I don't have a Pshat in that. Good. All right, good. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. along this line.